12. Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read verse 6 tonight. And Lord willing, we're going to cover 2 points if we get to them. Let's read the verse. Revelation 12 and verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now there's 2 points we want to consider in this. Number one is that Israel will be taken care of by God. Number two is 1,260 days. Now we may not get to both of those, but we want to cover at least the first one tonight. But you think about this. The Bible states here, Israel has been touched by God in a great and marvelous way, because the nation of Israel has brought forth the man-child. Israel, as a nation, through the Virgin Mary, has brought forth the only begotten Son of God. No blessing like that has ever taken place. But Israel did not see it. When Jesus was born into the world, they did not see who He was. When Jesus Christ grew up, walked upon the face of the earth, began His public ministry, Israel did not see who He was. But you think about it. They are God's people, but they did not see what God was doing. Am I right or wrong? I'm right on that. You think about it. When Jesus Christ began to do miracles in their sight, as a nation, they did not see that. God was dealing with them. They didn't see it. They rejected Christ, crucified Him, thought that problem was out of the way, but He arose from the dead, and then their troubles were just beginning. Because the gospel went out throughout the whole world, the Gentiles were called in to the jealousy of the Israelites. And then, of course, in verse 6, we've got this transition of time. You understand that there's we went through this last time, we won't go through it again, that there's a great span of time between verse 5 and verse 6. But Israel didn't see it. All right. They did not see what God was doing. They did not see the Christ. But notice this, that even though they did not see, and Israel doesn't see as yet, as of today, the nation of Israel is not a believer in Christ. As of today. Now, Israel flees into the wilderness. She flees away. See, why does she flee? Let's go back and read Matthew chapter 24. Here's what's going to happen. You know, coming up, there's going to be a peace treaty signed, and we read about those things and how that in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9 talks about that peace treaty that will be signed. But then in verse 15, Jesus said this, and of course this is a prophetic about the thing that is to come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And you can refer back there to Daniel about that. And we'll just read that. He said, when you see this, and let's just read that right now. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. You keep your place in Matthew 24 and go back and look in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And you'll see this. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And Israel Israel as a nation, when this treaty is signed, they do not see Christ. Verse 27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." That passage is what Jesus is referring to in the book of Matthew 24, verse 15. Now, at this point, Israel is blind to what God is doing. And, I mean, this remark right here, oftentimes we are blind to what God is doing in our lives because it's not turning out the way I want it to go. It's not happening the way I think it ought to happen. All right? But that doesn't mean that God is not in charge. It doesn't mean that God is blind to what we're going through. Because God does know. All right? Go back in Matthew 24 and verse 16. Now, the Scripture says here, and Jesus is speaking to the Jews, He says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." You better get away. When you see that treaty broken, the abomination of desolation set up in Jerusalem, you better get to running. "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." I mean, you better go quick. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." You better go with your work clothes on. Verse 19. "Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, because it's difficult for you to travel very fast. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, that there be no hindrances through weather or through religious convictions. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." But the passage that we're looking at there is how that Israel does not see Christ. They do not see what He's doing. That doesn't mean God's not working with them. It doesn't mean that God's not going to do what He said He would do. But they don't see it. Verse 12. Revelation 12 and verse 6. "The woman fled into the wilderness." Even at that point, at the middle of the tribulation period, when Israel flees away, they're still God's chosen people. They're still God's chosen people. But they still don't see Christ. Say, what are you talking about? Here's the thing. And you know that when Jesus Christ comes at the end of the tribulation period, at the battle there of Armageddon, that's when the Jews see Christ. That's when they know who He is. That's when they say, this is the one we missed. But here's the thing I want you to see. And make application to our life today. The Jews are being taken care of by God, even though they don't even know who Jesus is. And we need to understand that ourselves. We don't know the end of anything. We don't know we just think we know what's going on. But we need to live by faith. The part about living by faith is that you don't see the end, you just believe God's going to take care of it His way. And you're trusting God, it don't make any difference what happens. That's what faith is. Faith will never cause you to break a commandment of God. You think about it. If you're living by faith, you'll never break a commandment of God. Think about it. You never will. Israel here in this place, they are led by God. Look, the Bible said in Revelation 12 and verse 6, "The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God." You see that? Does Israel know where it is? Let me ask you, do you know where it is? I've heard it all my life. It's Petra. I've heard it all my life. It's Petra. Where is it? It's in the wilderness. Say, don't you think it's Petra? I don't know where it is. Unless you can find me a scripture that says it's Petra. And if you can, then I'd appreciate you show me where that is. It's in the wilderness. I see that. I see it's in the mountain in Matthew 24. Flee away. Of course, Petra's not the only place where there's a mountain. But we get it. We get this thing figured out like this and that. But God knows where it is. But you see here, what's so remarkable about this? Where she has a place prepared of God. In that day when the Israelites, who do not even believe in Jesus Christ, are going to run for their lives, they're going to stumble onto the place that God has prepared for them. I'm using that word stumble in quotes. Because God is directing their paths and they're afraid. You think about it. They're afraid. Just like a lot of times we're afraid because of the circumstances of this life and because of things that we see. But God says, don't be afraid. God says, don't be fearful. God said, you trust in me, don't be fearful. We as believers in the Lord ought to know that. But how far short do we fall of that? Then we try to work out all the circumstances by going against the commandments of God to fulfill what we believe is the directives of God. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. Wherever this place is, it is a place that God has prepared. And if it's Petra, great. If it's not, great. It's a place prepared of God. I like this place. The Bible says that they should feed her there 1,260 days. They are going to be fed. I think that just blows me away. God knows what we need. Sometimes I live as if God doesn't know what I need. Do you? I'll leave that with you. God knows what we need. And God's going to feed them. I don't see how they can escape. Maybe, of course, the deal is about going to Petra is that they can get in there and they've got this one little bitty narrow channel, and so anybody that tries to get them, they can machine gun them down, or that the currents are so high going up out of there, no bomb can drop in there. I've heard all that. Maybe that's the way it is. But let me show you a better way. Let me show you something better. Okay? Look in the book of John, if you would, chapter 8. I think this is a better way. I don't know where they're going to be. You know, this week I received in the mail from a Baptist church about a seminar that this church is having about how to protect yourself from the sodomites and from people breaking in and shooting everybody. And they said they got military people there in their church that's going to conduct this seminar in order to show everybody how you can protect yourself. And I'm thinking, is that what we're come to? Is that what we're come to? I mean, I'm talking about an independent Baptist church. Is that what we've come to? But let me tell you, there's a very, very small step. There's a very small step between us not living by faith in the everyday things that affect us every day, and then coming to the place that we believe we've got to arm ourselves with our own weapons to shoot people when they come to shoot us. the small step. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. I was reading this. This is a better way. To me, this is a better way. The book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. Just read verse 59. These Jews take up stones to kill Christ. The Bible said, Then took they up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now this is what happened right there. Did Jesus do that? Could Jesus hide Himself in the sight of those people? Sure. That's what He did. He wouldn't have any problem doing that. God can do anything. There's no limit to what He can do. We're the ones that limit God. We're the ones that say, it's got to be this way, or I don't see how it can work that way. When we need to just turn God loose and let Him do what He's going to do, and let us be happy with it. Let us get acquainted with the Lord. Let us see His grace and His faith and His mercy and His blessings upon us, because He's certainly got plenty of them. Read this one. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Here's a man whose name is Elijah, and I think you know him very well. I'm reading in 1 Kings, I think it is, if I can ever find it. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Elijah was told by God, here's this command. I want you to say it's not going to rain except I say so. And that's what the Lord laid that on Elijah's heart. That's what he said. And then verse 2 of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, the Lord came to him and said, Go thence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so you know the story. And so Elijah went and he hid himself by the brook. And he ate what the ravens brought and he drank the water from the brook. After a while, it began to dry up. Verse 8, the Lord said, okay, Elijah, I want you to move. I want you to go up to this place and I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so when he got there, the woman was out gathering a few sticks, and he said, hey, get me some water. And she said, well, I will. And then she left to go get it. And as she was going, he said there in verse 11, hey, bring a little bit of bread too. I mean, if you're going to try a little bit of water, how about a little bit of bread? And she said, as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake. I got a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And that's all we've got. And Elijah said this in verse 13, do not be afraid. I think he's saying that to us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You believe God? Don't be afraid. Don't let circumstances trouble you. Now that's a big statement to this widow woman who has no means of support, and she's got just enough food for her and her child for one piece of bread, and that's it. And he said, you bring it to me first. And he is not being arrogant here. But this is a measure of faith to believe and practice and do what God said to do. God will bless His Word. He says, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart tremble. It's true for the nation of Israel. It's true for us. Let's not be afraid. Let's trust. In verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spoke unto Elijah. That happened. That reminds me of what Israel was going through, because the Bible said that he's going to feed them. God will do that. But if we're going to trust ourselves, God will let us trust ourselves. You see what I'm saying? If we're going to trust God, He will bless. But if we're going to try to figure it all out, God will say, well, just figure it all out and go your way and you will face ruin. But if you'll just trust me, then I'll bless you a day at a time. It's not going to be a great big lump all at once, probably, but it'll be the way God does it in His own good time. And when you look, think about it, when God blesses, it's not that you can just look and say, oh, now I've got it. It doesn't happen that way. It hasn't happened that way with me. What happens is when I look back on it, then is when I see what He did, not during the process. Now that's with me. I'm slow. Look at this passage. The book of 1 Kings chapter 18. After many days. Now I want to read this to you because it's quite a long reading, but I want you just to see it. Well, maybe not all of it. In verse 1, it came to 1 Kings 18, verse 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So this is right down to the end of that drought. Go, he said, and show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And it was so. Now, understand this. Here's a little story before we get to the main part. This Obadiah, when Jezebel had cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Here's the thing. Obadiah, as a servant of Ahab, as a servant of the guy looking for Elijah, going in and out every day, and Obadiah was feeding 100 prophets. And nobody told just how many mules would they need to carry the food out there for 100 guys. You would think the tracks in the dirt would let somebody know something was going on. But nobody told. I think it's wonderful. Here's the thing. God can cause men not to see. Just like Jesus Christ was there in the midst of the people and they were going to try to kill Him. They had stones in their hands and they looked around and couldn't find Him and He was standing right there. He just walked on. I think that's better than going down to Petra. Hid in the open, as it were. Look, and we're not done with that. That's what Obadiah did. So they divided the land between them to pass through. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. Verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou that, my Lord Elijah? Are you the guy? And he answered him and said, I am. I'm Elijah now. Here's what I want you to do. Go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. And here is what Obadiah said, oh me, what have I sinned? That thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me. Look, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here. You are kidding me. Elijah Don't you understand that Ahab has gone into every country there is? He has looked high and low for you. When God said hide, they hid. They hid. Elijah was hid in a widow's house down by the brook. You would think that the king, with all of his resources, could certainly find Elijah. But he could not. He could not. So in verse 12, he said, "And as soon as it came to pass, that as soon as I am gone from thee," Obadiah talking to the Lord, talking to Elijah, "that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me." Elijah says, "Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went and to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. But here's the thing. This is just so neat to me, is that God takes care of His people. God takes care of His children, even if they don't know they're the children of God. Think about what I'm saying here and what the Bible is telling us. We know that we are the children of God. You think God will take care of us? Will God take care of those that don't know yet that they are the children of God? Did God take care of you before you were saved? Amen. If He hadn't, you wouldn't be here. How many times did you escape? How many dumb things did you do that somehow didn't kill you? So I don't want to think about that. Yeah, I don't either. I'm just saying, God will take care of His children. Isn't it foolish of us? You think about it. Isn't it foolish of us when we don't trust the Lord, when we don't believe the Lord, and when we lay awake at night trying to figure out what we're going to have to do? Isn't it foolish of us? And when God says, "Perfect love casteth out fear." The Bible said, "He giveth His beloved sleep." I think about that sometimes when I'm laying awake at night worrying. And I'm rebuked by it. But God fed the nation of Israel. He sent them away into a place where they were protected and where they were fed. A place of safety. But let's go back in Revelation 12 and verse 6. And perhaps we'll be able to cover the next point. That is, they kept them there for 1,260 days. Let's first of all, what I want to do here in this section, and you understand, God's going to do this, all right? But God in His Word is so merciful to us to clarify the most confusing issues for us, and He makes it so clear if we just trust Him and believe what He said, and just look at His book. I mean, He'll make it so clear to us. Now look, So how long is the 1,260 days? Well, let's read it another place. Right here. In verse 14. Before I read verse 14, let's go read some more verses to kind of tie this all together. In verse 7, he says. Now, in verse 6, it talks about the woman fleeing into the wilderness. Verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Dragon fought and his angels. Prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, to deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, the angels were cast out with him. Heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which has brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given great wings, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Verse 14 is giving us more information about verse 6. You can tell that. Just read it. You can tell. But here's the thing. In verse 6, we got 1,260 days. And then in verse 14, we've got time, times, and half a time. What he's telling us in this place is that the Bible is identifying 1,260 days as time, times, and half a time. That's what he's doing there. So, if you will, since we've got, now I've got that understood, so I hope you do, but let's look at another place. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, and all you got to do is just go back and read these. You'll see that these time periods are the same. And there's in the time periods, he's talking about events that are taking place during those time periods. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1. There was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Whoa, we got another. Now it's 42 months. All right, read verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. What he's doing here in verse 3, and in Revelation 12, verse 6, and Revelation 12, 14, is telling us that the tribulation period is divided into two equal parts. The times of the Gentiles is going to be in the last half, when the Jews are hiding in the wilderness, and the 42 months, the time, times, and half a time, and the 1,260 days is all speaking about 3.5 years. All right? The only difference that we find here is in chapter 11 and verse 2 and verse 3. Because those two verses, verse 2 and verse 3, explain very clearly that the Gentiles are going to tread underfoot the holy city Jerusalem during the last half of the tribulation period. That's 42 months. The two witnesses prophesy during the first half of the tribulation period, which is 1,260 days. Then, when the Bible gives us here in chapter 12 that the woman flees into the wilderness for 1,260 days, it's the same length of time that the witnesses prophesy in the first half of the tribulation period. Okay? Of course, Israel is fleeing away in the last half. The two witnesses prophesy in the first half. He's telling us the tribulation period is divided in equal parts. Same things in Daniel chapter 9, 27. Same principle there is talked about. When he shall break the covenant in the middle of the week. He's tying all of those things together. That's in Daniel 9, 25, wasn't it? 27. I think it's verse 27. Yeah. Yeah, that's breaking that exactly in half. Now notice this. If you're in Daniel, look in chapter 9. And what you'll do, if you do a little bit of a study on this, you'll find that it may not be quite as complicated as at first it might seem. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse... Pardon me, Daniel chapter 7. Okay, Daniel 7 and verse 25. And what I'm doing here tonight, in this little bit of time we got, is reading to you every passage in the Bible that talks about 1,260 days, 42 months, and a time, times, and half a time. Reading every one of them. All right? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And talking here about the Antichrist at the end. He shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. That's when the nation of Israel is going to be, they think, under their dominion for the last part of the tribulation period when they are fleeing away, when they're in hiding in wherever that's going to be. There's a progression of time here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High. That is the progression, as you can see that developing in this world today. And Satan is just going crazy, and all the things that they're coming up with is just beyond imaginations that anybody would even think the way they think, with all the wickedness and all that. But they're speaking great words against the Most High, wearing out the saints of the Most High. And the issue there in verse 25 is what's happening to us if we're getting worn down as Lot was worn down, and he vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And if that could happen to Lot as he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you don't have to go very far to get to Sodom and Gomorrah from here. You don't have to go very far to find wickedness and depression and all kinds of things. You don't have to go far at all. And if we wear down our soul with it, we've done the same thing, and that's what's happening. You think about how television has eroded the morality and the ethical standards of this country. Think about it. And then, and he shall think to change times and laws. That's happening right now as we go on. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. There again, 3.5 years is what it's talking about. See Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and let's read verse 5. Daniel 12 and verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Man, that would be what we'd want to know too, isn't it? When's this thing going to be over with? I'd love to see what's going to happen. And I heard, verse 7, I heard the man clothed with linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it should be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So, there again, time and times and a half. That's, I think, what he's talking about. That's my opinion. What he's talking about in that place is when Satan really begins to take over this world and say, this is it. And he begins to rule and reign. He's going to have control and do things the way he wants it to be done without any godly influence for 3.5 years. And it's going to be horrendous. It's going to be horrendous, the repercussions from all of those things that is going to take place. I want to read a couple other verses. The book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke 21. And this goes along with the passage we read at the beginning in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Luke 21, verse 22, but woe unto them that are with child. See, Luke 21, verse 23. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon his people, upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so there again, we've got that all linked together, that the times of the Gentiles are put there. And we read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, where it talks about the times of the Gentiles, the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. That's in Revelation 11, verse 2. That's what it says. So here's the thing. This one you think about. Now we've tried to give 2 points tonight. And I trust that you've understood the first one. And really the first one amounts to this, that God is going to take care of His people even if they don't know it. And it's appropriate for us to believe that. It's appropriate for us to know that it's so. It's also appropriate for us to know this, that things may not get better. But it's never good to break a commandment of God in order to take care of ourselves. It may not seem logical. It may not look like that's the way to do it. But we need to live by faith. When God said to Elijah, "I want you to go," after the brook dried up, "I want you to go down to a widow woman." And when he got there, the widow woman didn't have anything. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But God said, "I'm not only going to supply Elijah, I'm going to supply the widow woman, and I'm going to supply that child." And he did. We need to see that. For today, we need to see that. God will bless His people if we will just pay attention to what He's saying. But here, Israel was put in a place where she had a place prepared of God that she would go. And in Revelation 12, verse 6, and said that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And even as Obadiah hid those 100 prophets of God, and Ahab couldn't find them and didn't know they were there, and then he looked for Elijah, one man, and couldn't find him, and he looked all over for him and couldn't find him. And Elijah finally had to come out and say, "Hey, here I am." God will take care of His people. We need to believe Him. We need to trust Him. When it don't look like it, and if God wants us to do something, we need to do it. But sometimes that's the means that God uses. God did tell Elijah to leave the brook and go to the widow woman. But it was God that supplied, not the widow woman. So we need to remember all those things. But I trust tonight that you'll see these 2 points. And I know that the one brought out the second point about the years. I covered that pretty quick. But just if you just take your Bible and just look those up, there's not 7 of them. I think there's 7. You can look them up, and then you can see for yourself what those are. Anyway, that's all I've got for tonight. Lord willing, we'll take up there maybe in verse 7 for next time. As the Lord has blessed us, continue. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, my, how lost people need to just trust the Lord, right? Amen. But you know how us that are saved need to trust the Lord. And not have a care in the world, and trust the Lord and be happy and just spread His Word. May God help us to be what He wants us to be. May God help our church. May God help us to see His face in the midst of the tribulations and the persecutions and and the obstacles that lie in our way. May God help us to say no to us and yes to God. May God help us to trust Him as we live. We will stand, if you would, Brother John, if you'd come in, please. If you're here tonight and lost, we pray that you might see Jesus precious to your own soul tonight. And if you are already saved and you need to worship and serve the Lord, we trust that tonight you might begin to do that. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing, and pray that God will have His way in the song and in this invitation. It might have His way in our lives, in our hearts, and as we apply what God has given to us. Brother.